Now, the next particular subject has been the source of a lot of mystery, I suppose, in recent, well, I was going to say recent weeks, but recent months and possibly even recent years. I'm just trying to think how long it is since Barnacle Bill's, formerly one of the city's most popular restaurants, has been closed. And everyone's saying, well, it's such a prime position. Surely somebody's going to step in and fill the void. And it's been closed and looking deserted and sad for a long, long time. It's got a big kitchen out the back, big dining area out the front, smaller area inside, but still a lot of people thought, well, someone will jump in there. They didn't, so I was harassing one Danny Betros because he's been in charge of marketing it for some weeks now in virtually under auction. He's the managing director of CBRE, and I think he may have an announcement to make. Daniel, good morning.
Good day, John.
Did you get it over the line?
It is sold. It has been sold, and there'll be some activity there over the next 2 to 3 months. And the most likely outcome there is that it'll be converted to two restaurants because it is a very large restaurant, which obviously comes with large overheads and costs. But look, it can seat, in its current configuration, it can seat well over 200 people. So it'll be a smaller restaurant, a much more manageable model. And we're looking at this stage at two pretty good new types of cuisine that aren't really on the Esplanade at the moment. So all going well. It'll be great to see something up and running there in the next few months.
Now, tell us about the buyer. Has he got any clue about restaurants at all, or is he a novice?
Well, it's debatable. George Papagallo's bought it from Villa Romano, and George is very, very happy, and he's got about 300 ideas rattling around in his head, and we'll narrow that down to the right operators and the right themes, and I think it'll be very good news for Cairns.
Well, this is really interesting indeed because it's been a landmark for years. I mean, people coming to town, that one of the first names that would come up was Barnacle Bill's. Now, I'm presuming that name won't exist into the future, and it may not be a seafood restaurant, or if it's divided into two, neither might be a seafood restaurant. But talk to me about the potential of it, Danny. You get out and about at night. You know about, this is Dress Circle Real Estate, really, on the Esplanade. Of course, now there's even more focus, I guess, because of that dining precinct. It's just north of that dining precinct, but I would imagine it'll benefit from an overflow.
So we always see the strip between Shields and Appland Street, where essentially you've got all your pizza places and kebabs and that. That's really a tourist dining area.
Yeah.
Rattle and Hum obviously gets a lot of locals, but most of the restaurants along there really are touristy. You know, you've got your burger bars and your schnitzel places, etc. But from Villa up to Splash, there's always been a locals, it's had that regular local patronage. And, Barnacles has left a massive hole there, unfortunately.
Yeah, for a long time.
The trick is to put in somebody there that, you need a point of difference nowadays. No point just opening up another seafood restaurant or a steak restaurant. You need a point of difference. You need something that people are going to say, hey, we haven't tried that, let's go there. We need something different. So they're all trading well along there. The AR's upstairs is going well. It's great Greek food. And, of course, Villa's powering on, and Raw Prawn. And Splash, of course, is very underrated on the other end. It's superb seafood there.
Mm.
So this will be, we're going to target two different types of cuisine and just really enhance the offerings on the Esplanade there. And I think it'll work well. I really do.
Isn't it funny? Because there were times when some of the restaurants weren't doing well. But they didn't suffer. I mean, obviously, they would have been down at different times, those restaurants you just mentioned. But they kept their doors open through all the way through. And I think for some people that was terrific, whereas some other restaurants had to close a couple of days a week. And often that was because they couldn't get staff to work.
And that's still the case, John. I mean, there's a massive shortage of hospitality workers. And, those restaurants typically still traded. I mean, I know a lot of them, they closed Monday and Tuesday night. And as things have turned, they're now back to 7 days. But not all restaurants need to trade 7 days either. You know, you've got to have a break sometime, and you don't want to go mad in business. It's hard enough without sort of relentless 24/7 cycle. But I think this will come alive down here with this strip, and it's good to see. And it's been closed for way too long. And unfortunately, the boys, Arthur and Tony, retired. There was a brief stint there where some other operators tried to operate it and stuffed it up, basically. And then, of course, COVID hit, and it's just been, it's just been backwards ever since. It's just been so hard to get these big restaurants up and running again.
Now, Daniel, don't go away. You're around the CBD a lot. I know you've got strongly held views. There's an article there in the Kent's Post today that details the removal, thank God, of these bloody bunkers that they put in that made it even easier for the worst offenders to hide through the night and jump out and frighten the daylights out of people or attack people or rob them or molest them or whatever. At last, I don't know who the hell was allowed to design it and who the hell gave it the tick. But they've woken up at long last at the council and say, oh, we're going to take out the bunkers and make it safer again. At long last.
Yeah. Look, John, I'm on the Chamber of Commerce and we were on part of a CBD committee which went through all this before they did any works at all. And it is the most annoying and frustrating thing because essentially, originally we were talking about a, what they call a dry fountain where water comes out of the ground and it was going to be a feature.
Yes.
It was going to be that. We had the mountain misty fog going through the giant fig tree there, which I think was going to be, seriously was going to be an attraction. And there was going to be a bit of a, I wouldn't say a sound stage, but there was going to be a little area there to perform. And that whole area was going to be grassed and flat and, you know, and entertainment folks, which you have to do to attract people into the CBD. And we kept saying it was blue in the face. There's no point refurbing the CBD without giving people a reason to come in.
Yes.
So then the fountain was turned out to be too expensive and they had to have a little pump station and Dom Davies was jumping up and down. He didn't want it anywhere near the wool shed and he didn't want the mist in the trees because he's worried about mould and other people were complaining along there. The same people that are now complaining about, oh, you've got to move all that down, you know, you've got to level that again. So, you know, the lack of foresight in the planning is quite staggering. And what we wanted was the perfect view from one side of the street to the other and so that middle area could also be used for markets. I mean, I've been screaming at the council for years about have market days down there, whether it be fresh food, food vans, or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be Friday and Saturday. It can be, you can have a Wednesday food market. You can do all sorts of things, but you can't do it while these big mounds are there. Now, I don't know who designed that. I really don't know who kicked it off. But it was exactly the opposite of everything we wanted.
Exactly.
So we ended up with this gardens that basically encourage crime and hiding and did the exact opposite of everything we wanted to do.
Oh, I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
But the people that complain the most about it are the ones that complained about us doing the people attractors into that part of the mall. I mean, you know, honestly, I've got my wall in my office has got dents in it from headbutting from some of the ridiculous decisions that we see sometimes.
Oh, I know.
And it gets back to the fact that a lot of the decision-making is done by people who just don't live, eat, work, or even walk around the CBD.
Yeah, exactly.
I find it really frustrating.
Yes, exactly.
Very frustrating.
I'm so pleased you've pointed that out. I don't know who the hell designed that bloody concept, but they must live on the moon. They certainly didn't realise what we've been putting up with for years with that appalling behaviour from the drunks in the town.
Lack of vision. And once again, I go on about a point of difference, right? Anyone can do a paved area and, you know, a few trees here and there. What's your point of difference? What's the reason people want to come to your shop or to that mall or to that area? You've got to create something.
Yeah.
And that particular marketing side of things just seems to get lost in translation in the public service.
Great to talk to you, Daniel. Thank you.
Bye-bye. See you, John.
Danny Betros. He's the Managing Director, CBRE in Cairns. And, of course, the big story there is Barnacle Bills at long last has been sold to George Papagello, who's got Villa Romana and other interests too in restaurants. Certainly plenty of experience over the decades. Now, it's 25 minutes to 11.